Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, F-Series.
One day, Jesus' followers, they're called disciples, well, a lot of his followers, but the 12 that he spent a lot of time with, the disciples, one day they came up to Jesus, and they asked him a question. It was a question they'd asked before, it was a question he had answered before, but I guess they'd missed it. And so he came and they asked him a question again. They said, Master, will you teach us how to pray? Which is an interesting question because they knew how to pray in their culture, their religion of the time, Judaism. It was very clear how to pray. They knew how to do it. But they came to Jesus and they were like, dude, tell us how to pray. What they were really asking was, tell us how to have a relationship with God like you do. What are the rules for how you talk to God? Now, they wondered this because, as I said, they were all Jewish, and their Jewish faith, the Judaism of that day, had a ton of rules as to how you could talk to God, how you could relate to him. There were rules about where you could pray. There were rules actually about how you had to pray. Rules about who could pray, when you could pray. There were all these rules. Yet, they saw their teacher, their rabbi, Jesus, a guy who would walk into a Jewish synagogue, open up a scroll, and teach from it. They saw him just having a completely different relationship with God than they had and they even thought was possible. They saw Jesus just whenever he wanted, just look up to the sky and talk to God. They noticed that it was like a friendship. It was like a real relationship. And they couldn't understand it. They couldn't figure out how to do it. All they knew is they said, I want that. I want that kind of relationship. That looks great. That's a lot better than the rules I have to go through and the bows and the knees and then all that stuff. How do I get to this? And the best way they could articulate that was to say, teach us how to pray. And yet praying was a part of it, but they really meant teach us how to have a relationship with God. And what Jesus teaches them is called the Lord's Prayer. And I know we have a lot of people at Wellspring, and I love it about Wellspring, that don't have a church background. And I'm thrilled by that. We designed this church for people that don't have a church background. If you have a church background, we're glad you're here too. But we want to make it very easy, very accessible for people who maybe didn't grow up in church and know all the stories like I do. I have to remind myself every week to explain things and not take for granted you know, because you don't. But when I say the Lord's Prayer, I kind of think there might be a little agreement on that. I think people know that. You may not know it was called the Lord's Prayer. If you grew up playing sports like I did, it was called the sports prayer, right? It was the thing you gathered in a circle and pray. So what I want to do is I just want us to recite the Lord's Prayer together, just to make sure to help you know it if you don't know it. And we're gonna do it normal, and then I'm gonna do the sports version. So if you know the Lord's Prayer, we're gonna say it. And if not, I'm going to put up on the screen in a minute. But if you grew up playing sports or anything, you've probably said this. It goes something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stop. Hallowed be thy name, really? Wow. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, you guys went into the sports cadence without even knowing it. Right? Because the sports version, you got in a circle, and it was like this. 3, 2, 1. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. And we all just somehow knew it. We just knew the cadence. I remember growing up, the big deal at our church was we used to say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those trespasses against us. And then we changed it to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you'd have thought we decided Jesus wasn't real. I mean, it was in the bulletin for weeks. We had meetings about it. It was, oh. But I feel like, wow. Yeah, I grew up Baptist. There you go. Still recovering from that. The point is, this is something that you didn't really have to know about God to know. Again, I went to public school. I don't know how we got away with it, but before every basketball game, we prayed that prayer. My guess would be that the farther north you lived, the less likely that was. But here down in the south, we're the Bible Belt, baby, you know. We just want to be good Christians, even if we're not good Christians sometimes. But the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus says, I mean, you got to think about this. These guys came to him and basically said, tell us how to have a relationship with God like you do. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big question. And I think it's amazing that this prayer has become a part of, you know, kind of society a bit, especially in the United States. If you've been to weddings, you've probably heard somebody sing it a time or two, you know. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But I want to unpack it a bit because it's so powerful what Jesus says in this moment. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them. I'm going to be in Luke 11, and then we're going to jump around a lot. I'll just give you a heads up. There's a lot of scripture today, a lot of scripture. So if you have a pen and you do take notes, just write the references down because you want to go back and look at them again. So they go to Jesus and say, dude, tell us, how do you do this? And in verse 2, he says, this is how you should pray. In other words, he's saying, this is how you do it. This is how you have a relationship with God, like I do. And real quick, he says, I'm going to give you kind of the modern version now. We're not going to have the hallowed's and the these and the thous. I'm reading you out of the Bible I use to teach and to understand. And so it says, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Now, this line actually tells us a lot about how to do this. First, it tells us that God wants us to have a personal relationship with him. That's why he says, Father. It's supposed to be an intimate relationship. It's supposed to be a relationship where we understand that the person loves us. Maybe you didn't have a good father. And maybe you've been forgiving them through this series. But you've seen the Cosby Show, right? Like you have a picture of what a good father looks like, right? Right? We can all remember, I have a great father. That's not what I mean. But it's supposed to be a close relationship. But we also are reminded, Father, may your name be kept holy. We're reminded that God is holy. God is perfect. God is set apart from us. That also means he will be the perfect Father. And then it says, may your kingdom come soon. Because if we have this God who loves us intimately and is perfect, we want what he wants. Because he's the perfect Father who loves us. So of course we want his kingdom to come. Of course we want his will to come. Of course we want what he wants to happen because that's going to be the best for us. Verse 3, give us each day the food we need. See, I think Jesus put this in here to remind us it's okay to ask God for practical things because he's your perfect, holy, loving Father. He wants to provide for your practical needs. It also shows us that we are to pray daily. We should every single day be relying on God for our daily needs, daily. And then verse 4, he says this, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us and lead us. See, I went back into the old version, lead us not into temptation. That's what I was starting to do. And don't let us yield to temptation. Forgive us, help us forgive others, and help us avoid mistakes in the future. See, to me, this is the perfect place to begin our final discussion on forgiveness. To begin week 4 of F series about forgiveness being possible. To me, this is the best place to start because this entire series, we talked about one topic, right? We talked about forgiveness, how we receive it, why we should give it. Week 1, what we learned is that forgiveness comes from God through his son Jesus because he paid the penalty for our mistakes, right? Maybe you've heard the saying, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because I owed a debt I could not pay. That was week 1. Jesus bought our forgiveness with his life. He took our sins upon himself, paid for everything every sin we'll ever commit, and that freed us. Weeks 2 and 3, we talked about, in light of that, if you've received that forgiveness, we're called to extend that forgiveness to other people, to the people that hurt you in your lives, to the people that committed evil against you. We're called to forgive them. We do this because we have been forgiven. We do this because unforgiveness, that holding on, only hurts us. It doesn't really even hurt the other people. And we do it because we know God is good and God's got our back and God's going to handle them, and so we can let it go. And last week I sat on the stage both hours and watched in awe as many of you stood up and handed the offense in your life over to God. And you put it in these trash cans. And then this week I read over them and I wept. And I was stunned at the things that you guys were forgiving. I mean, as a pastor, you assume there's real pain in your congregation, but you never really know. And as I read those things, I really knew. I was in awe of you this week. You guys have forgiven some serious things, way more serious than I've ever had to forgive. And we've had teams of people praying for you all week, and we are going to continue to pray for you, and I am so thrilled that you're taking this step to be free, to live the life that God died to give you. So today, as we end this series, it may seem weird to you that I started in the Lord's Prayer. But again, to me, it is the perfect place to end this series, because my goal when I end a series is not to just put a nice little bow on it. My goal when I end a series is to say, okay, we've done this. Now I want to put something in your lap to where you can take this and continue to apply it to your life. Because if all we did was 4 weeks on forgiveness and you feel good about yourself and you walk out tomorrow and nothing's different, I've failed. My goal is to give you something that you can take. And so that's why we're going to the Lord's Prayer, because this entire series has been about, whether you realize it or not, it's been about the past. It's been about pointing you backwards, pointing you to the hurts that have happened before, the things that have eaten you up inside from before. But the cold hard reality of life is that evil things are going to continue to happen to you into the future. You are going to continue to sin in the future. You will. So we spent 3 weeks talking about the past. What I want to do as we close is I want to give you some instructions on how to live a forgiven life going forward. How to live forgiven. And see, that brings us back to the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus wasn't teaching his disciples how to begin a relationship with God. He was teaching them how to daily have a relationship with God. And in his prayer, he acknowledges the point I just made. He acknowledges that, yes, you are going to continue to mess up every day. And people are going to continue to mess up against you every single day. I think the reason Jesus made this point is because he understood us. And because he understood our enemy. And he understood a tactic our enemy is going to use against us. But I'll get to that in a moment. What I first want to do is I want to go back to the prayer. And I want us to break down what Jesus actually says about forgiveness and about this sin in our lives and how we daily have a relationship with God. He says, remember he said pray daily because we're supposed to ask God daily for our food. So this is a daily relationship. And then he includes, forgive us our sins and help us forgive those who sin against us. It's what he says we should pray daily. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, some of you grew up in church and you knew that prayer. Others of you have heard it. Here's the problem with that prayer. It's not God's problem. It's not Jesus' problem. It's our problem. Okay? Let me make that clear. Jesus didn't misspeak. But the problem is we read that. Leave that up there. We read this. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We read that. And what begins to happen in our minds is we begin to think, okay, I've got to daily pray and ask for forgiveness. Okay, I've got to daily ask for God to forgive me. Okay, so what that means is that every time I pray and ask for forgiveness, the slate is wiped clean, like a dry erase board, okay? We clean it. But then during the day, as I sin, as I mess up, we put a tally mark on the dry erase board, right? And if I've been really bad, I put 2 tally marks on the dry erase board. And sometimes I just need to color an entire section of that dry erase board red. And see, we think that we basically every day we build up a new debt, like a credit card. We're just cha-ching. We got a sin card and we're just charging that card, just charging it. Every time we mess up, cha-ching, cha-ching. And then when we finally have time at night or whatever, and we go to God and we say, God, please forgive us for those mistakes. In our brain, what happens is he then takes that account and he cleans it out. Now, see, here's the problem with that understanding. An understanding I think many of you have, and it's an understanding I've had for a long time, an understanding certain denominations want you to have because it makes you come back every Sunday so that you can be clean again. It's not what Jesus means. In fact, it's completely the opposite. In fact, that understanding of our relationship with God and that understanding of sin is a lie straight from the pit of hell aimed at destroying your life. Because let's think about it for a moment. Let's take things to their logical conclusion. I love to take things to their logical conclusion. It makes people angry when you're talking to them. And I'm like, I'm sorry, your argument doesn't make sense. That's not my fault. So let's say that you have a really bad day. I mean, just awful. You even got up that morning and you prayed for forgiveness and it was wiped clean, but you just had a terrible day. It started in traffic. Traffic is a tool of Satan in my life. That's why God called me from the Metroplex of Dallas-Fort Worth to Myrtle Beach, because I'm told he will not tempt me beyond what I can bear. So he removed me from it. But let's say you do that. Let's say, yeah, you get cut off in traffic and you're really angry and you say things you shouldn't say and you say it in front of your kids and you don't even know how to deal with them and you feel embarrassed. And so a lot of times as parents, what we do is when we feel embarrassed, we try to flip it and make it holy, and we find something our kids did wrong, and so we yell at them for something they've done to hide our embarrassment. I guess I'm the only one who's ever done that, but I have. I'm a sinner. And so then you get to work and you're not in a good mood, and so you lie to your boss about something. You see where I'm going. Now, let's just say you're on your way home and you get in a wreck and you die. According to your scenario, you're going to hell. Because one sin is enough to keep us from God's eternity. And we know that's not true. We know that God's promise is forever. So how on earth could this idea of that we can accumulate new sin debt that we have to ask forgiveness for on a daily basis, how could it be possible? Because the logical conclusion would be, unless you die the moment after you pray for forgiveness, you're going to hell. And you're not. And don't worry, I got a ton of verses to back it up. All right? This ain't just my idea. Let me read you some. Again, we're getting a lot of verses. Hebrews 10:10 says this: "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Everybody look at me and say, "Once for all time." You did it. Good job. I wasn't sure you would. Once for all time. Now, if you've been around Wellspring, this isn't new information. You've heard me teach this before. But I want to make sure you get it, because as we're ending this series on forgiveness, as I'm going to say in a moment, this is where you're going to get attacked. This is the weak link in the armor unless you know what's happening. Okay? When Jesus died on that cross, he took upon himself not only every sin you've ever committed up to the point you chose to follow him, but every sin you will ever commit for the history of time. They are all gone. That means once you accept the gift he's given you, your sins are gone. All of them are gone. How far are they gone? Very far. Psalm 103:12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Notice it did not say north from south, because we can measure north to south. East to west, nobody knows. It just keeps going. To a lot of places in the world, Myrtle Beach is the west. Think about it. But we don't live on the West Coast, do we? Unless the ocean's on the wrong side, I don't think we do. There's another one to prove it. Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Let us sit for a minute. And for the doubters in the room, I'm about to whip out some seminary on you. I'm going to tell you what the Greek word is there for condemnation. It's katakrima. Like that? Katakrima. Here's what it means. The exact sentence handed down after the establishment of guilt. And most times when it was used, it meant the death penalty. What Jesus is saying is once you belong to me, there is no penalty for your sins. They are gone. Now, quick side note, I have to be clear here. This is from God's perspective. What it means is, you sin. If you've accepted Christ, you're forgiven and free. Now, on earth, you will have consequences for your sin. If you lie to your wife, there will be condemnation. There might be some katakrima. If you commit a crime, just because God's forgiven you doesn't mean you won't pay the penalty for your acts here on earth. Because we live under a justice system ordained by God. That's our next series, by the way. Talk about authority, things everybody loves. So just hear me on that. That doesn't mean that you won't have consequences on earth. That's not what it means at all. What it means is that in the eyes of God, you are forgiven. You are clean. You are holy. And you were from the moment you accepted his gift. Now, this actually brings us to an interesting question. So if we are forgiven, if this has happened, if we do have this in our lives, why on earth does Jesus say that we should ask for forgiveness every day? If we're forgiven. If we were forgiven once for all time, why does he say one of the keys to have a relationship with God, one of the keys is to daily say, God, forgive me for my sins and help me forgive others. Why does he tell us to do that? Here's why. And this is so important. You need to hear this. Jesus wasn't telling us to ask for forgiveness again every day. What he was telling us to do was when we mess up, to confess our sins, to confess our mistakes to God so that every single day he could remind us that he loves us, that he paid for us, and that we are still his perfect child. Now let me illustrate that for you. I want you to raise your hand here. Raise your hand if you are currently or have ever been in love. Husbands, if you're not paying attention, just raise your hand right now. Just raise it up. Just do it. You did not commit anything. Just raise your hand. Okay. I have done the same thing. I have been in love. I am in love. Now I want you to think back to the moment when you first realized that you were in love. And then think back to that moment when you first told the other person, hey, I love you. Or maybe you said it better than that. I don't know. And then you hoped, just pray they'd say it back. Unless you're like me, I'm the moron who told my then girlfriend, now wife, that I loved her, only to take it back a week later. And 2 weeks later after that, I said, okay, I do love you. And she said, really? And it's a longer story than that, but I don't have time. The moral is I'm a moron. But anyway, you can think back to that. You can remember that. You can feel it. Now, I fell in love with my wife for real when I was 22 years old, okay? A little over 10 years ago, actually, because I can remember 10 years ago. And I still remember the awkward conversation where I had to say, hey, I really do love you. You know, I really do, and I'm sorry about all that. And I do love you. Now, the fact that I love my wife has never changed for one second since that moment. If anything, I love her more now. But that wasn't the last time I told her that I loved her. I tell her I love her every day, often multiple times a day. And it's not because I just discovered that I love her again. I do it to remind her. I do it so that she never doubts for one moment how I feel about her. See, I believe the reason God wants to talk to you every single day, and the reason God wants to remind you that he paid for you and that you're forgiven every single day, is because he never wants you to doubt for one second that it's not true. Because as I said earlier, we have an enemy. The devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, and he hates your guts. He wants to destroy your life. And he is the one who authored this idea of sin accrual. That you just continue to add more and more debt every day. And then you have to go and get it clean again. Because see, here's why he did it. It's not really to make you want to go get it clean again. It's because if he can convince you that you're continuing to add sin debt to your life, he can also convince you that one day you've added too much. That you have now gone over your credit limit. That you have become overexposed. You are now upside down on your sin mortgage. And God has foreclosed on you and kicked you out. See, that's what Satan wants, man. Satan wants to convince you that what you've done is too bad, too wrong, you've run too far, that you could never get back into God's grace. He is such a jerk. I hate him so much. He lures you into sin and then tries to shame you after you've done the sin. He is a jerk, and I'd like to say worse words, but I'm in church. See, here's what Satan's going to do, okay? He's going to use two tools, two tricks from his bag of awfulness. And the two most deadly things he's going to bring against you as you attempt to live a life for God, as you attempt to embrace forgiveness, there's two things he's going to bring towards you. If he hasn't yet, I want to warn you now. So when it happens, you'll say, oh, I knew this was coming. Two things. He's going to use guilt and he's going to use shame. Guilt and shame. I was going to say, do you have any idea? But you probably don't. I'm a pastor, so I do. The number of Christ followers that Satan has taken out of the game with guilt and with shame is staggering. Because they feel guilty over their mistakes. They feel shame towards God. They feel like they've gone too far. They feel shame from other people. They can't talk to other people about it. Because someone in their mind or culture or other church leaders have taught them that what they've done, their specific sin, is so bad, is so wrong, that for somehow Jesus' blood didn't pay for that. And I apologize, I get angry about that. Because my Bible says Jesus' blood covered everything. Once for all time. I do not believe we have invented new sins that cannot be forgiven. My God is bigger than that. You can clap for that. Now, I know for some of you, I am reading your mail right now. You have lived there. You are living there. The guilt you feel eats you alive. You don't want to pray to God because you're ashamed. You beat yourself up because you just can't believe you did it again. And some of you have become convinced that you've gone too far and that God can never forgive you. And to you, I want to say with all the love in my heart, I just want to shake you just a little bit, not hard, but just a little bit, and say lovingly, do you realize how crazy that is? Our God paid a debt he did not owe. Because you owed a debt you could not pay. But he paid it. He didn't put a down payment on it. He paid it. And here's what that means. Here's what that means. It means he knew you were going to blow it last night. He knew what you were going to do. He knows about it. On the cross that day, dying, he knew what you were going to do last night. He knew about it. Paid. It means he knew this morning on the way here, you were going to fight with your wife in the car. He knew you were going to yell at her and say things you didn't really mean. But his plan was to take that and ruin your week because you were going to be too proud and too ashamed to bring it up because you don't know how to deal with that. And you didn't know what to do with God for that. And so you just kind of been sitting there awkwardly beside each other in church trying to be good about it. But God's saying, no, I paid for that. It's gone. No reason for shame for that. He's saying, hey, I know you're going to blow it tomorrow. I already know about sins you haven't even thought of yet. You haven't even thought of them in your mind. I know you're going to commit them, and I've already paid for them. See, Satan wants you to think that you can blow it, but this is so crucial. This is so important. If you want to live your life forgiven, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to get this. This is the difference between a change for a week and a change for a lifetime. This is the difference right here, okay? When you sin, it's not if, it's when. That's why Jesus says to pray for it every single day, because you're going to do it. Come on. When you do, what he's teaching us to do is run to Jesus. Run to God. Run to him so that he can remind us, I know, and you're still forgiven. And then the next verse we read there, and let me help you learn how to avoid that mistake next time. That's why it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. See, he combines the two. He ties confession with avoiding mistakes in the future. Because see, these moments where we daily go to God and say, God, I know I blew it today. I'm sorry. And God's up there saying, buddy, I know, I love you, man. I forgive you. Now, let me help you know how next time, how there's a better way out of that. Let me help you understand how you could have taken a couple of steps to avoid that situation that never would have happened to begin with. Let me help you understand, you know, how your life, even though that seems more fun, how your life really is better my way. Because see, as we go to God with our sin, as that relationship with him is built, as we consistently are reminded, no, I really do love you, really did pay the price for you, never going to turn my back on you, we begin to trust God more. We begin to desire his ways more. We begin to learn he was right. Dang it. And see, this is actually the way it's designed to be. 2 Corinthians 7, if you have your Bibles. Verse 10. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience, this is the bad feeling about your sin, leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. There's no regret. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's just a closer relationship with God. See, if you grew up in church, you've heard this, but if not, let me explain it quickly. We kind of have a thing. The Holy Spirit deals with our lives, and he's the one who helps us understand the Bible and speaks to our hearts and stuff. And there's this thing called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christ follower, you've experienced it, even if you don't know what it's called. It's your conscience. It's the thing that when you are in the middle of a sin, when you're about to sin, when you have sin, it's that voice that says, shouldn't have done that. You don't have to do this. That was a bad idea. And see, that conviction is meant to do one thing. It's meant to return us back to Jesus' prayer so that we run to God and say, oh, you were right. I'm so sorry. Thank you for telling me that. Help me know how not to do it again. But see, that's not what we do. When we get that conviction, we put human in it. We put another charge on the debit card. We start to freak out because we can't make the payment. And Satan begins to pervert that God-given impulse. And he turns it into guilt and shame. And instead of running to God, we run away from God. And this is what Paul says. But worldly sorrow, guilt, shame, which lacks repentance. That's how you can know, by the way. Because when you go to God with your sins and you confess it, you then talk about how not to do it again. But when you feel guilt, you avoid God because you're ashamed of him. But nothing in your life changes. Because when you feel guilt and you avoid God, the sin starts to feel good. It's the only thing that makes you feel alive. And then Satan's like, ha, 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 I got him, I got him. I got you, Lord, in. See, conviction of the Holy Spirit leads to confession, which leads to repentance, leads to a clearer pathway forward, and it leads to life. Guilt leads to shame, which leads to paralysis in your walk with God. Because you become afraid of him. You become afraid of the guy who died for you, who loves you so much, he sacrificed his son for you. And you're afraid to talk to him. Jesus wants you to have life. And the key, as he said in his word, as he was teaching his followers, is to daily talk to God. Is to daily have a relationship with him where you are open and honest about your faults, about your mistakes. Not so he can judge you, not so he can beat you over the head with a baseball bat, not so he can be like your parents. I'm sorry, parents. I'm a parent too, and I do it all the time. And say, told you so. God has no desire to say, I told you so. Do you really think God wants to say, I told you so? Of course he told you so. His entire life is one big, I told you so. He wants to hug you. He wants to assure you that you haven't blown it, that you'll never go too far. But let me teach you how to avoid that in the future, because even though there's no condemnation from God, like I said, there are still consequences on this earth. And Jesus wants you to have the best life possible on this earth. And that is one free from the consequences of bad choices and bad decisions that he could have saved you from. Guys, it really is that simple. He really just does want the absolute best for you. I swear. He is not out to get you. So that's why I think Jesus tells his disciples to daily say, forgive us our sins, or we forgive those who sin against us. The second reason I think he says this is the more we pray to God, the more we're reminded about our own sin, the easier it's going to be to forgive those when they sin against us. Because they will continue to sin against you. They will. If you think this series is all about letting go of the past, all you did was wipe the slate clean. Not in your sin debt to God, but in the world's sin debt to you. It doesn't work that way. As freely as you've been forgiven, we must continue to forgive. We must continue to hand it over to God and say, God, I trust you to handle this. That's the key. That's the final step. If you want to experience the life Christ died to give you, the life where there is no condemnation from God, only love, forgiveness, and instruction. So I just tell you, if you want to live a life free from condemnation, if you want to walk in forgiveness that he offers to you and that you can offer to others, I end with this. Just follow Jesus' advice and pray daily. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that your peace and your presence will fill this place, that we will walk out of here changed, that we will walk out of here sure of your love for us, that we will never doubt it, that we will run to you so that we may be people that walk in forgiveness, people that freely give it, and people that you use to transform the world. We love you, Father. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv or visit us any Sunday at Myrtle Beach Middle School.